apparently holds differently. And all things being equal, at first glance, I think most people would sort of learn like Rashi. That is to say, that Masin is a specific form. It's a particular maneuver that's been endorsed, that Besdin has a right to do. In order to achieve a certain result, so Besdin has the right to impose upon them, to deal with the witnesses, to force them to just move around. It's not, according to Rashi over here, this is the difference, the distinction between Rashi in Sanhedrin and Rashi in Sota. As we'll soon see. Is it a completely separate phenomenon that Beis Din has the right to undertake this procedure? It's an intimidating tactic to bring about that state of mind of what we call Tirif Hadas. Now Rashi over here is learning it's completely separate tactic. It's isolated. It's not necessarily intertwined with any of the basic functions of Beis Din. But Beis Din has the right to do certain things to put the Eidim in a certain frame of mind. Because the idea of just taking people and moving them from place to place is not really a legitimate procedure of the Beis Din. However, you could say that it's connected. You see that idea, that that Beis Din has an obligation to intimidate. Now, this is not identical with intimidation, because the intimidation, as we learn in the Rambam, is by exhortation, to warn them of the seriousness of what they're doing. So I'm not saying that this is necessarily an outgrowth of that, an extension of that. Remains to be seen. But the objective of this is that Beis Din, that's the question. I mean, how far can Beis Din go? I mentioned yesterday, theoretically, you could do more than that. You can lock them up in a room. You can cause them to get dehydrated, not give them water. All kinds of techniques to scare them, or that'll certainly produce fear for us. But obviously, you can't do that. It's not that Beis Din has an unlimited right to do whatever they want to do. So therefore, this is the issue. You can understand, once you state that position, you can understand the Rambam. That Masin is not simply a completely separate maneuver, you're just physically abusing them, so to speak, or pushing them around. But as long as it's in the framework of how you carry out, let's put it this way, is it an essence or it's an accident? All right. Well, it's an accident. It's always an accident. But the essence will always be some legitimate function of Beis Din. It's an accident that you can carry out the legitimate function of Beis Din in this manner, in a circuitous manner, designed to achieve the objective. However, according to the Rambam, it's more of an essence. That it's a technique which has been ordained. Okay, I'm sorry. According to Rashi, it's an essence. And I can't explain to you why they determined that this is the right measure and this is what you can do. It's a phenomenon from the Gemara. This is what was brought down. Now, it's a big question. I mean, because you have to mediate between the two extremes. If the measure is too mild, doesn't have an impact, so then it's worthless. On the other hand, as I said, you could conceive of doing things that are more threatening. You see that tyrants want to scare witnesses into confessing, will subject them to much more serious measures or torture, whatever. So obviously, from that standpoint, you know, let's set up a torture chamber and let's scare the life out of them. And then we'll really, if they don't back off, we'll have a much greater conviction that they're telling the truth. But you can't do that, obviously. So what's the, where do you draw the line? So for the time being, that's drawing the line. Masina Seyed Mimakum Mimakum is something which is deemed to be not that terrible. Because, yeah, it's not just that, but then bear in mind, we said before, that Beis Din has an obligation of Uviyar Tahara. So they can't just set themselves up as enemies of the Eidim. So I can't explain to you why this is the perfect thing. It makes sense. You can see in general, you can see that it does have a certain effect, but it's not too intrusive. Okay, I can't define that. How they decided to draw the line over here? That's not my problem, because the Gemara tells us Masim Milo Tanya, when we learn Masim is Eidim, so that was handed down. That's part of the Masorah. That Masim is Eidim Makom Makom is fine. It's just the right measure. The only question is, though, again, is it an essence or is it an accident? If you say it's an essence, so then it's independent. It's an additional factor. It's something. It's a power that was given to Besdin to do this maneuver in order to put people in a certain state. Whenever Besdin has a concern that the party is not being forthcoming, or it has an objective, like in the case of Sota, it really it's, so to speak, prejudiced. The Besdin, it wants the person to confess. It does not want to have to go through with the drinking of the waters. So then it can call upon this activity of Masiyan, which makes sense that the Besdin, there are two different activities that Besdin engages in. There's one that's part of the actual process of the din, Drish Hakira, and so on and so forth. And then they have this right to utilize this maneuver called Masiyan, because they have a specific need or an interest to put a person in a certain frame of mind, which is called Tirf Hadas. So therein lies the argument with the Rambam. According to the Rambam, he didn't hold it that way. He held it's got to be an accident. It can only be employed in as an accident of a legitimate procedure of Bezel. Okay? Apparent contradiction within the Rashis. Okay? And I think we're closer to understanding it now. Shimasin is a separate idea. It's a separate phenomenon. It's not interconnected. It's not tied in with any of the other functions of the judicial process. That is to say, in the judicial process, what are the components? We've already explained the components. First of all, Besdin has to interrogate the witnesses. That's not Masiyan. That's not moving them from place to place. Then Besdin accepts the Eidos. Oh, we also mentioned, we learned in the Ramah, there is the legitimate idea of Iyum, to intimidate them. That's something else. Whether this is connected to that or not, it hasn't been established yet, but that's the case. It's clear that the Rambam didn't learn that way, because we learned his concept of Iyum, to intimidate them, and he didn't mention anything about moving them from place to place. Then, after that's done, you have what we learned post-Chumash, that you have to begin the Maso Matan, the deliberation on the side of merit. And then you have the Maso Matan. We're going to learn how it's conducted and so on and so forth. And then you have the Gemar Din, and then if it's unfortunate, if it's a bad Gemar Din verdict, so then they have to see to it that the person is executed. So where do you have Masiyan? Is there anything in all of this that gives you the right to do Masiyan? And Besdin is limited. Besdin doesn't have absolute power to do whatever they want. So if I were to tell you that in order to have Tzira Das, they take him and they shake him up and down and say, confess already, you liar. Can't do that. Might be a good idea. So then now we're learning that they can just move them from place to place. What right do they have to do this? So therefore, that's not halacha. That's not halacha. Kadesh should deserve daitan. So now the question is that just a separate thing? That we do see that they were given permission to undertake a maneuver purely for the sake of Tiruf Das, and that's called Masir Mimakam Lamakam. That's what I mean when I say it's an essence. It's independent. It's a power that was given to Beth. Independent of all the activities that they're doing, they can undertake a maneuver in order to bring about Tiruf Hadas. That is the position of Rashi. You have to understand Rashi, because Rashi seems to be saying two different things. According to Rashi, it's not like the Rambam. It's different than the Rambam. However, it seems that in Sota, one can say that his position is closer to the Rambam, although it's not identical with the Rambam. the position in Sanhedrin that it's before the Kabbalah Seydus is further removed from the Rambam's position. Does that have to say? If our reading of Rashi and Sota, the way Rashi describes it, that it's Kishabodkin, when we're Bodekon, and not before we're Bodekon. So then you see that it is not completely an independent maneuver. So there's agreement that it, that is to say that you can't just take them at any time and just start walking them around. It's really a modification. It's got to be connected to the Drish V'Chakira. So therefore, it's not just the time. Time is not the issue. It means to say that it modifies the manner in which they conduct the Drish V'Chakira for maximum impact. Because Drish V'Chakira is really supposed to, that's its point, is supposed to expose any type of fraudulence. So for maximum impact in the Drish V'Chakira, they do it and they move him around in the course of the Drish V'Chakira in order to produce a better Drish V'Chakira. So here it's moving closer to the position of the Rambam, that is to say that it is related to the procedure of Drish V'Chakira. And it's going to enhance the Drish V'Chakira. Not before. The difference would be, according, that is to say, what's the difference between this and the Rambam? This seems to be closer to the Rambam. Because the Rambam is also saying it's not just not a separate thing, that you move them around. Rashi, in his description, in Sota, seems to be saying that, you don't just move them around, but it's part of the conduct of the Drish V'Chakira. So you don't make it comfortable for them physically to let them relax in one place, but you keep moving them around. So that's going to enhance the objective of the Drish V'Chakira. If you see the Rambam, it's not just an accident of the Drish V'Chakira. It's an accident. You use the term accident. But it modifies the Drish V'Chakira itself. It's a modification of the Drish V'Chakira. It's subsumed in the process of the Drish V'Chakira. It's part of the Drish V'Chakira. According to Rashi, it's not part of the Drish V'Chakira. The Drish V'Chakira goes the way it goes. But it's something connected to the Drish V'Chakira. You see, it's connected to the Drish V'Chakira, but it's not a part of the essence, of the substance. According to the Rambam, it's part of the substance of the Drish V'Chakira. According to Rashi, it's not part of the substance. But in the course of the Drish V'Chakira, they cause them to move from place to place. But what they're doing, the moving from place to place, is not part of the substance of the Drish V'Chakira. It's an accident of the Drish V'Chakira. To the Rambam, it defines the method of interrogation. So it's not extraneous to the interrogation. Now, you can have something which the essence of the thing is extraneous to the to the interrogation, but we've connected it. We're connecting. It's connected to the interrogation. That is to say, the idea of Masin is not part of the substance of the interrogation. The idea of Masin is to move them from place to place. But the moving from place to place is related. It's a kiyum in the activity of the Drish V'Chakira. Does that make Rambam? The idea is, It's not super adding something, which would be an accident of the process of the Drish V'Chakira. According to Rashi, according to the Rambam, it's a change in the very substance of the Drish V'Chakira. Now, the example I'm giving is, let's say there was a law that you do the Drish V'Chakira in a very dark place, because that creates a certain fear, intimidation. So that would be connected to the Drish V'Chakira. But it wouldn't be a modification of the procedure of the Drish V'Chakira. That's the idea, the way Rashi learns it in Sota. That is to say that the Drish V'Chakira is carried out with the individual being moved from place to place. So the movement from place to place, that's a function of place. That's a function of position. So that is connected to the Drish V'Chakira. It's an accident of the Drish V'Chakira, but it's not a modification of the actual procedure of the Drish V'Chakira. That's how Rashi is acknowledging that it has to be connected. It has to be connected to one of the judicial procedures, which is Drisha Makira. But it's not a change in the actual Drisha Makira. Whereas Rambam is learning that it's not a change in an accident of the Drisha Makira, like place or where they're located. It's rather a change in the very substance of the Drisha Makira. It's more essential. It's how you're actually doing the questioning. Is that? And so then the description over here. Because over here, before the Drish Fakir, so it seems to be like a separate thing. Yeah, but now that we understand this, even over here it's not entirely separate. It is related to the Drish Fakir. Because it's pre the Drish Fakir. If there wasn't a Drish Fakir, they wouldn't be doing this. Even Rashi, in his explanation in Sanhedrin, where the position seems to be furthest removed from the Rambam, but even here you see that it is not just a completely separate thing, like you just start moving people. Because he says clearly, we tell them we won't accept it here, but we will accept it there. So according to Rashi, it's related to the Drisha V'Akira. It's priming them, it's Haskalah's Drisha V'Akira. Because you're putting them in the proper framework for Drisha V'Akira. In order to conduct the best Drisha V'Akira, we want them to be in a certain framework. So that's why we don't just move them around. Even Rashi over here is not saying that they come, witnesses come to court, we just start moving them around. No, we won't accept it here, but we'll accept it there. So it's the beginning of the procedure of Drisha V'Akira. It is related to Drisha V'Akira. So the only thing is it related in terms of, you know, the introduction to Drisha V'Akira? In Sota, it would seem that no, it's more integral. It's more integral to Drisha V'Akira because it's carried out as part of the actual process of Drisha V'Akira. Over here, it's sort of the introduction to Drisha V'Akira. It's the beginning. Before we actually do the questioning, we prime them, so to speak. You prime them for the Drisha V'Akira. And then you go into the Drisha V'Akira, and the Drisha V'Akira, they're sitting in it, you're not moving them around anymore. You've done that already. In Sota, it's connected to the actual conduct of the Drisha V'Akira. While we're doing two things, we're asking him questions and we're moving him around, because it's an enhancement of the very procedure of the Drisha V'Akira. But according to the Rambam, it's different because it's not talking about physically moving them; it's actually a description of the manner, of the substance of the Drisha V'Akira, which is the interrogation per se. Those are the various positions. Everybody, in terms of explaining Sota, then in Sota, there too, you're not just stopping a procedure and moving a person. But you are in the course of a legitimate maneuver in terms of you have to move her from place to place. That's part of the actual procedure. So you do that in a way which is designed to achieve this result. And as far as that's concerned, Rashi and the Rambam both agree. Resolve the contradiction in Rashi. I did not do that. Resolving the contradiction shows that there's really one universal idea and two different situations. No, if we're correct in terms of the pshat, then you can't resolve it. Then it just so it seems that Rashi had two different interpretations, and that in one place he said you do this before the Drisha V'Akira. Because bear in mind that the Rashi of Sota is not he's talking about the situation by a Sanhedrin, by witnesses. So he's explaining Masinas Eidim in a different way. So all I could do is explain what's the two positions, what's the difference. That's it. It's not a resolution. And so perhaps Rashi changed his mind. That he learned, when he learned Sanhedrin, he learned it one way. When he learned Sota, he may have changed his position over there, and he never got around to removing it from Sanhedrin or whatever. I don't know which one. That really doesn't concern me. So after all is said and done, which one does Rashi actually hold by? It doesn't concern me. I'm just trying to explain both positions. To sum up this discussion, I want to be very clear about this fact, that I do leave the door open to the fact that I'm reading too much into Rashi. That Rashi, you could say that Rashi's saying the same thing, and Rashi means in his description in Sota that before the Drisha V'Akira, Personally, that doesn't sit well with me. If you didn't have the Rashi over here and you read the Rashi over there, Kishabokin as Aiden, when we are bodek them. That to me seems to say when we're in the process and the procedure of being bodek, we move them. And that is that idea, that reading is reinforced, because over here where Rashi is maintaining you do it before, he's very specific, he's very clear. He doesn't say when we're bodek them, he says before we're bodek them. We say lo nekabel kan el kan. So on that basis, I came to the conclusion that Rashi is giving two different shatim, and therefore I had the burden to try and explain each one. If I'm correct on the facts, then there's no way to resolve the contradiction. It's a contradiction, and it's not a problem. It's two different positions, and Rashi changed his mind. That's not a problem. The only thing you could say is perhaps I'm reading too much into Rashi, and right what Rashi says in Sota, maybe he meant that you should look at both. And you should understand, because I've already explained in Sanhedrin that it's really before. That's possible, it's feasible. I just don't sense that that's correct. Again, a final note before we go further. Of the two Rashis, if you want to learn differently, if you want to say that perhaps we're not, let's say that Rashi is really saying the same thing in both places. It seems to me that what's firm is Rashi in Sanhedrin. Very firm that Rashi is saying it's before the Kabbalah Seidus. And by the Kabbalah Seidus, it means listening to the testimony, accepting. Literally. Not the halachic Kabbalah Seidus, which comes at the end. When we use the terminology of Kabbalah Seidus, we're using it in two senses. That's clear from learning this Rashi. Acceptance of the testimony. We're using it in two ways. One is simply where I'm prepared to accept your testimony in a descriptive way, to listen. You come to testify, okay, now I'm ready to listen. The very listening and questioning you is the process of Kabbalah Seidus, the process of accepting the testimony. So Kabbalah Seidus is used in that sense. It is also used as a halachic phenomenon, where it means Kabbalah, we accepted it. It's accepted, and now it has the status of Eidus. The same term, Kabbalah Seidus, acceptance of the Eidus, which means it's now assumed the status of Eidus, meaning to say that it's complete. So that term can mean the procedure, it can also mean the final stamp. And that's the final stamp, that's what we're familiar with, because we said once you have that Kabbalah Seidus, you can't retract. But the one we're talking about here, the process of Kabbalah Seidus, as long as that process is ongoing, they can retract. Okay, same terms, same words. Now, it's definitely clear that Rashi over here is using Kabbalah Seidus in terms of the descriptive process of receiving, of listening to them, not the halachic final stamp. That is clear. Once you establish that, and Rashi says, Kodem, before we even listen to you guys, we move you around, that's when we do this maneuver. It's very clear what Rashi is saying, that it's not done in conjunction with the activity of Drish Brakir, it's done prior. Before we actually sit to accept it, we first do this. It's the setting of the stage, it's the beginning, so to speak. That, I think, is very clear. That's clear from from this Rashi. If you want to maintain that Rashi's shot in Sanhedrin, where he seems to be saying, does not say this, and seems to be saying differently, Kishab Bodkin, if you want to say there's no contradiction, because you'll say, I'm reading too much into the Rashi over there, and be a little relaxed, and that's what Rashi means. Kishabodkin means when we begin and all that, instead of the way I read it, that it's Kishabodkin means actually in the process. That I find more acceptable. I don't agree with it, but if you want to maintain that there's no contradiction and Rashi saying the same thing in both places, then modify, it's easier to modify the wording that he gives you in Sota, than to modify this. But to say the other way, that Rashi is learning that it's in the actual process of Drish Rakiva and not before, and to convert the meaning of what he's saying over here to conform to what he says in Sota is to me very, very difficult. That's it.